Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border. The greeting for those that are seated in heavenly places in Messiah is a greeting that I found in the Scripture. The name of this broadcast, Cross the Border, is a call for everyone to cross the border into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and live forever. The kingdom of God is a present reality. Approximately 2,000 years ago, when the Messiah walked on the earth and began his earthly ministry before his death and resurrection, he walked about and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." Today they preach a different message, another gospel in the corporate churches. They preach a gospel that goes kind of like this: repent so you can go to heaven when you die. Nowhere do I find that gospel in the Scripture. Nowhere did the Messiah preach such a gospel. He preached, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." Now, I've had an occasion to ask people, "Where is the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God? Where is it?" And the answer you get invariably is, "That's where we go when we die." They've converted the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, to pie in the sky after you die. Now, the Messiah talked about that a little bit when he was talking about the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites, how they go throughout the earth trying to make a convert, a single convert, as many converts as they can. As a matter of fact, their counterparts today, the scribes, the Pharisees, the pastors, the evangelists, the crusaders, they have huge crusades in great stadiums, and they sell people pie in the sky, and the great by and by when they die, they get to go to heaven. They lead them up to the kingdom. The words of the Messiah. They lead them up to the kingdom, but they suffer them not to enter because they don't go in themselves. That sounds like the gospel that they preach today, that you get to go to heaven when you die. Now, is there evidence that the kingdom of heaven is a reality? That the kingdom of God, a holy nation, exists on the earth where you can enter in now, that is so close to you? That the Messiah said, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." Now, most people I know have a hand or two. And if you hold out your hand, take your hand and put it as far away from you as you can. See, now, if the kingdom is at hand, it's within your reach. It is no further than your reach. You can reach it. That's what it means. If something is at hand, that means it's within your reach. It's within your grasp. You can enter into it. Repent. That's the way. It is at hand. And what do we know about repentance? What does that mean? They teach repentance, and that's feeling bad about your sins and asking Jesus to forgive you, right? I mean, that's what they do at the big crusades, to get everyone to feel guilty and sorry and have an emotional experience. And then they walk them down the Romans road. You know, they hop, skip, and jump through the Scripture. And they have what they call the Romans Road. But for most people, there's no effect at all. And for a few, well, they continue. And they read the Scripture and they get serious about it. And they actually bring forth the fruit of repentance in their lives. They cross the border into His kingdom. The Messiah, He illustrated the present reality of this holy nation, this kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven on earth. And he said, if your foot causes you to stumble, you know, to keep you from repenting, if your foot causes you to stumble, that you should cut it off and cast it from you. Now, true Christianity is not a mutilation cult. We're not cutting off our feet and our hands or plucking out our eyeballs. So why did the Messiah say such things? Because he spoke the truth. He said it would be better if you went through life, and he was talking about this life, not pie in the sky when you die. Okay? He said it would be better if you went through this life without your foot, without your hand, or without your eyeballs, than that your both your body and soul be cast into hell. And he wasn't talking about pie in the sky when you die, because the promises of the resurrection, there are going to be no people with missing feet. No one's going to be blind. No one's going to be halt, lame, dumb, mute, deaf, retarded, crippled. Not in the resurrection. We all get healed. That's right. We all have the perfected body that will never get sick, never get old, never grow old and die. Never. So he wasn't talking about pie in the sky when you die. The kingdom of heaven is not heaven when you die. It's not where you go when you die. You enter there now. And you can, even if you have to enter at the cost of a foot, a hand, or an eyeball, because it would be better to go through life, to enter into life now. Yeah, now, during this time, to enter into that holy nation, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, to enter it now without a foot, without a hand, and without an eyeball. So what does the illustration mean? Well, the illustration means that whatever the cost, whatever you have to cut off, you know, you don't go to the bar and hang out with sinners. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the path of sinners. You know, you don't go where the sin is. You separate yourself from that. You cut it off, like cutting off the eyeball or cutting off the hand. If your foot causes you to stumble, if it causes you offense, causes you to continue in sin, then you cut it off. You don't go there. You don't really have to cut off your foot. It should not take that. You may have to throw away your computer, the eyeball. See, it's an illustration of how important it is to repent. And all of those things that are keeping you from repenting, you don't do it. Some people would be better off without computers. Some people would be better off without an automobile, because they can't resist getting in their automobile and going down and going wherever it is that they satisfy the lusts of their flesh with the things of this world and stumble. And rather than repent, they continue in sin. See, that is the opposite of repenting, is continuing in your sin. And of course, we have all, you know, we have all the excuses we need to continue your sin. But basically, it gets down to it. You just don't want to cut it off. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's within your grasp. Enter in. Cross the border into his kingdom. That's what it means. And then you will be seated. Your position will be, your spiritual position will be seated in heavenly places in Messiah. And it matters not the cost. That's where you need to be. Because this is a very serious business. The consequences are eternal. You need to be in his kingdom. His kingdom is the only kingdom that will last forever. Whatever the cost, whatever the pain, whatever the suffering you have to go through to enter in and remain there, that's what it takes. Do you really want the kingdom? Do you really love God enough to put off the things that are not pleasing to him? Do you really? And unfortunately, the answer for most is no. They won't go there. They can't give up those things. They can't give up their fornication. They can't give up their drugs. They can't give up their endorphins. They have to continually be high and feed the lusts of their flesh, because that is more important than pleasing the Almighty. And then they have a delusion, an illusion, an image of God that is not true. The image of God that says, God wants me to be happy, so it doesn't matter. And they have a delusion of salvation. Once saved, always saved. regardless that there's no fruit in their lives, that there's no fruit of repentance and there's no fruit of the Spirit. They choose their delusion and they continue in their sin and they do not cut it off because they do not believe the words of the Messiah when he said it would be better for you to go through life crippled, blind, whatever the cost, than that both body and soul be cast into hell. The gospel of the kingdom. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. There's a holy nation in the earth. Those people have chosen to repent and to continue to bring forth the fruit of repentance, to find their position in his kingdom forever. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're trekking through the Bible here. We're on a Bible trek, and we're going through the minor prophets. We've got to Micah, chapter 1 and verse 1. Of course, the prophets were for the nation Israel. There is applicability to every nation and every time here. The Heavenly Father deals with nations. Israel, he raised up a nation, and he told them that he would be their king if they would, you know, that if they would have him. And they did for a little while, but they threw off their king and said, we want a king like the other nations. Well, it was just downhill from there. I was hard enough, you know, when they accepted him and his government and the system of judges that he gave them, the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. They threw it off. We see that same demonstration has happened here today in America. America was founded as a nation with a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. The people sin. They threw it off, and through the tyrant, Abraham Lincoln, who brought in a fascist form of government, he forced the nations, the states, the nation states that wanted to leave the Confederacy and form their own Confederacy, he forced them back into the Union. Force, see, that's the key word. And that's where the liberty that that America, the United States, was formed on was quenched by a fascist ideal. And the fascists have rule. That's held together by force. So he forced them back in. And we've had a nation of force ever since. The form of the nation changed, and it has continued to become more dragon-like to this day. You see that history repeats itself over and over. Scripture says that all of these things were written as an example for us. So we need to pay attention. The names and the cities and the circumstances are different, but the applicability of the way that the Heavenly Father deals with people and nations hasn't changed. Israel lost its place, is no longer God's chosen nation. It was. He chose them. He chose them as a nation, and he was their king. They threw him off, and he divorced them, and they existed as long as they did to bring forth the seed of the Messiah, the promise to the remnant, a promise to the woman and the seed of the woman, which are God's chosen people. I differentiate between God's chosen people and God's chosen nation. God's chosen people were from the beginning, all those who would choose to repent. And before the Messiah, they looked forward to the Redeemer of mankind. We, who have come after the Messiah, we look on the Redeemer of mankind for that salvation. They looked forward to the Redeemer for that salvation of the same faith. Noah, Job, one of the oldest writings in the Old Testament, he looked forward to the Messiah. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Adam and Eve, they saw the Redeemer face to face. He was their great high priest. He clothed them with the animal skins. none other could qualify. It had to be the pre-incarnate Messiah. All of the faithful, for all time, are part of the holy nation, where we are seated in heavenly places in the Messiah. That holy nation, all of the promises fulfilled in Messiah from beginning to the end. All of the promises to Israel, all of the promises to the patriarchs, all of the promises to the church, all of them fulfilled in Messiah, all of them fulfilled in the millennial reign of Messiah, all of them fulfilled in the new heaven and the new earth, all fulfilled, all in and through the Messiah, all the promises of God Almighty. Micah, the word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Moreashthite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Of course, Samaria being the capital of the northern tribes, Israel. And Jerusalem, of course, being the capital of Judah, or the southern tribes. The days of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah. We have mediocre to very bad to a good king here. So we have a spread of kings here. Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and will come down, and tread upon the high places of the earth. Now the high places signifies the places of worship, and most specifically the high places of idolatry. He will tread upon the high places of the earth, and the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as waters that are poured down a steep place. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore I will make Samaria as a heap of the field, and as plantings of the vineyard, and I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof. And all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces, and all the hires thereof shall be burned with fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate. For she gathered it of the hire of a harlot, and they shall return to the hire of a harlot. Therefore I will wail and howl, I will go stripped and naked, and I will make a wailing like dragons, and mourning as the owls. For her wound is incurable, for it is come unto Judah. He is come unto the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. Declare ye it not at Gath. Weep ye not at all in the house of Ephrah. Roll thyself in the dust. Pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Sapphir, having thy shame naked, the inhabitant of Zaanan. Come not forth in the morning of Bethazel. He shall receive of you his standing. And of course, many of these cities, I believe we have a city there of the, most of the cities here are of Palestine and round about. We have a mention of Samaria. You all know the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Samaritans, of course, were looked down upon because, well, many of them were half-breeds, but they were also mainly of the northern tribes, which many of Judah, in their pride, looked down upon them, not realizing that the only reason that Judah was sustained longer than Israel and revived after the 70 years desolation was to bring forth the seed of the Messiah, the promise. That's all. It wasn't because they were better, as their pride would have them believe, but it was only because the promises of God and the promise to David to bring forth the Messiah, the seed of David, and the seed of the woman, the promised Redeemer of mankind. So they carried that pride even to the time of the Messiah and looked down upon the Samaritans as if they were better. Just shows you the condition of their hearts and their minds, thinking themselves better than others when they were no better and just as guilty. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.